Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. This is the show where we improve your knowledge of the freight market, improve your bottom line, and improve the transportation industry as a whole. We're talking Rates and Lanes. Let's move on down the audio road.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. We have our special guest, Chuck Snow, who's going to be joining us tonight. Chuck, if you're on the line, go ahead and press number one so we can get you queued up and screened in. We want a lot of caller participation tonight. Tonight's show topic is surrounding preparing for the worst while hoping for the best. I spoke with Chuck a little bit earlier, and both of us kind of believe that we might be headed for a little bit of a rocky situation when it comes to the rates and the spot market, not only in the spot market, but also in the contract market as well. There seems to be a lot of pressure. There seems to be a little bit more capacity. And as we all know, that our industry is an animal of supply and demand. And there seems to be a little bit more supply than there is demand. So we have to, we wanted to try to start to get everyone, all of the listeners that participate on the show, try to get you prepared and different tactics and things that you can do to try to make sure that you can weather the coming storm. We want to be prepared for worst case scenarios, but at the same time, we want to be hopefully, you know, we want to be praying and hopefully that never comes to fruition, that we can kind of keep coasting along. And right now, I don't know. I can only speak for myself, and that's why we want to get heavy caller participation tonight. Is that as far as myself is concerned, it's not been, this year has not been the greatest of years. It's been a little bit slow, been a little bit sluggish at times, and the rates have been really, really tough, hard sledding, especially in particular on the spot market. So we want to try to give some different tips and advice, and Chuck is going to help us out with those things. That's being able to lean on Chuck's expertise and all his years of experience being in the trucking industry, not only as a motor carrier but also as a broker, is going to help us out exponentially to help us be able to prepare to weather those storms. You know, it kind of shortens our learning curve as well. And while we're waiting on Chuck, trying to make sure we get him in here, we spoke with him a little bit earlier. We're waiting on him to get in. We got a bunch of callers on the line. It's hard for me to pick the numbers out. So, Chuck, if you're online, press 1 so we can get you screened in. But while we're waiting on Chuck, we'll go ahead and jump into this week's USDA truck rate report, the product from USDA. I will put a link of this report up on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page for your viewing pleasure. You can go back and read the report more in depth. We just kind of skim over the high points on the report here on the podcast. And right now, the only markets that are showing a shortage that you might want to be positioning your trucks is in the Southwest Indiana and Southeast Illinois markets. Those are the only markets right now that are showing a shortage. They are in dire need of trucks in that area. Still moving, wrapping up the rest of the rounding out the watermelon season out in that area. So if you happen to be located in that area or have trucks that are going to be in that area, you could probably do yourself some favors by chasing down and looking at some of those produce loads that are coming out of those particular areas. Places that you might want to avoid. Places that are showing slight surpluses: Yakima Valley, Winchy District, Washington, and also South Central California, showing slight slight surpluses in those particular markets. Places that you might want to just avoid outright, like the plague: Mexico Crossing through Nogales, Arizona, showing outright surpluses in those markets. South District, California, showing outright surpluses in those markets. Big Lake in central Minnesota, showing outright surpluses in those markets. Southern New Mexico, Mexico crossing through Texas, and Texas as a whole showing outright surpluses in those areas. So those are some areas that you may want to avoid outright. Not going to be maybe a little bit tough sledding, trying to get a decent rate and actually even moving your truck in a productive manner in those particular markets. And okay, we got Chuck Snow up and on board with us here. Chuck, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Rico?
I'm doing great, doing great. Glad to have you with us tonight. I kind of already gave a little bit of a preliminary introduction as to what we talked about earlier. You know, we want to talk about trying to get everyone prepared for the worst while hoping for the best, because we both, during our conversation a little earlier, thought that we might be in for a little bit of a rocky road coming down, and we want to try to get some people aware and get people prepared for what may be coming down the pipe. So with that said, with no further ado, let's welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, where you want to, how do you want to, where you want to take this thing to start out with?
Well, first of all, what I'd love to do tonight, Rico, and thank you for having me on the show. I think tonight, as we discussed earlier, I think what we really need is we need some support from our listeners to just call in. Let us know what it's like in your areas. You know, you when you do the DAT, the DAT report, that gives us an idea, but it's not really 100%. I'd like to hear it from the people in the front line, what they're seeing, because what you and I are seeing and what business is seeing is a little bit different sometimes than what we hear. And there are some concerns. As I mentioned during our earlier conversation, when the truck manufacturers are starting to hurt a little bit and sales are down considerably, that is, I can tell everybody out there, that's a real warning sign. And that's what really brought my idea into focus about talking about what happens if, you know, there's a real good chance in the United States right after the inauguration parade, the parade's going to be over and your new president, whoever he or she is going back to the White House. And later that evening, you're going to hear the dreaded R word that we don't really want to say, but it's very possible. The writing is on the wall because big truck sales are down. From what I'm hearing from some of my friends in the United States, in general, business isn't as robust as it was. Seems to be not all of a sudden, not the turnover in drivers, which in some ways, you know, I could imagine, especially with some of the bigger carriers, it's got to be a little bit of a chance to catch their breath because, of course, the driver turnover has been insane for the last few years. There's been a real shortage of drivers. And now all of a sudden things like this happen and we get a correction. Now, could all be wrong, and maybe there's other reasons that truck sales are down. But from what I've experienced, you know, being in this business for decades, usually that is a telltale sign when business stops investing in equipment. And as we all know, trucks are frontline equipment. And trucks do wear down, and people have trade-in. They have trade-in programs, and they have, they have their cycles, and seems to be a lot of concern there. So, I just would like to see if we can get some people to call in. Let us know what it's like in your neck of the woods. Are you noticing anything? What you and I can talk about, meanwhile, is how people can get prepared. What's the best way? You mentioned something which I think is brilliant but yet painful to a lot of people, and that is a war chest. We talked about that today for our people out there, you know, and I don't care whether you're a single owner operator or you run a fleet, you need to have some money in the bank. What happens if? What happens if one of those customers takes you down or tries to and they owe you some money? You know, every week, and I didn't catch it tonight, how was the delinquent broker report? Did you mention anything of that tonight?
No, I didn't go into that particular report. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to have a little bit of difficulty trying to pull that report up right now. I'm in the process of switching some stuff over, and it was tough sledding. I just barely got my computer turned on right before it was time to go on the air. I may not be able to get a hold of that particular creditor report as far as the brokers are concerned, but I think that because the majority of our audience is the small carriers and people that may be leased on to owner operators, or people that even may be leased to a larger company that are thinking about making the jump into getting their own authority. And that's kind of a thing that we kind of talked about as well, as far as is now the best time to do that. And my take on that particular subject is if you don't have any direct customers lined up right now, ready to roll before you go and file for your authority, I would suggest you just hold off and stay where you are right now and begin and continue to build that war chest that we were talking about a little earlier. And the reason that I say that is, you know, once you make that transition to being a motor carrier, there's a whole nother world of expenses that opens you up to when, you know, you're talking about your insurance and all those different things that goes up exponentially versus being leased on to a motor carrier. So Chuck, maybe we'll go down that line of thinking for a little bit and see where that takes us for a second. And just want to remind everybody that's on the line, we got a bunch of people on the line. We got a few people that's got their hands raised. We want a lot of heavy caller participation tonight. So the way that you can participate is by pressing the number one. That puts you in the queue. My lovely daughters that are back home in Atlanta, they are helping us out with the podcast, and they are screening calls. So be patient with them. They'll get right to you and try to get your name and where you're calling from, and they'll get you up on board so we can try to get to you as quickly as we can. And Chuck, with that said, as far as what's your opinion on jumping in and getting your own authority? And as soon as you finish that point, we got a few people screened in and we'll start taking some calls.
I think you nailed it, Rico. If you don't have direct customers, don't get in the ring, because all of a sudden you're in a different realm with expenses and everything else. And even if you do have direct customers, they better be good ones, because what happens is it's called contagion. And it means contagious. And what happens is, if things go bad, you could have a customer that's very healthy today, but if they take a big hit and they lose a huge customer, they could be gone tomorrow. So just remember that, even if you are getting your own authority and you've got your own customer, you've got to keep an eye on your customer, keep an eye on their credit, keep an eye on how they're doing, because it doesn't take much. We work on pennies in this business, ladies and gentlemen. And it doesn't take much when we're paying so much for trucks and for tires and diesel fuel and insurance and everything else. There's not a lot left at the end of the day. So that's why you need to be so careful when you are out there on your own, because you don't have a carrier to fall back on. You're the front line. You're the breadwinner for your family. So you've got to be able to feed your family. That's number one. I think I'll leave with that. And let's hear what these people have to say. Let's hear if we're on the right track or not, or if people are noticing the opposite.
Cool. Well, let's jump over here and let's grab Christopher right now. We got Christopher up and on board with us. Christopher, if you don't mind, tell us whether or not you have your own authority and what type of equipment do you pull, and tell us what you are experiencing.
Well, I just want to add to the sad news, but first of all, thank you for taking my call, Rico. And all the best to you and Truck. Well, you know, as you know, it's a uphill task. You got to fight, and as I was talking to Truck some time ago, you got to put in the work, and you got to fight and fight and don't give up. So that's what I'm doing. But right now I'm up in the northeast Midwest corridor, and it's not so bad. I've moved from down south and came up here, and I'm running, doing some short loads, and it's not doing so bad right now. But I don't have my own authority, and the reason why is because of that main point that you guys just pointed out. is that I don't have customers, direct customers. So I'm kind of fearful to say about getting any authority or anything like that. So I'm running under somebody's authority at the moment. I have a freight liner and I pull reefer loads.
Okay.
So the person that you're running up under their authority, do they have direct customers? Are they able to keep you busy? Or are you running under their authority, just running off of the load boards on the spot market?
I'm running off the truck stop load board here.
And how are you making out?
Well, as I said, right now I'm up in the Northeast and I'm just running short loads from the week start, like, you know, just running some short loads, maybe 200 miles, 150 miles, 170 miles, and it's not too bad right now.
How much are you averaging a mile, Christopher?
Over $2. Like, I have this load that I'm carrying, 170 miles, pays me $900.
Fantastic. I want everybody out there to listen. You may have the secret sauce. I've been saying this for a while. No offense, Christopher, I don't know your truck, but it's stupid. It's a truck. It doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't know whether it's going to Louisiana, California, Mississippi, or Arkansas. And it's going to get the same fuel mileage pretty much no matter where you go. And you're running 200 or 300 miles for $900. That's great business. And if you do stuff like that, you're going to do well. You'll survive. It's the guys that want to do the long stuff and stretch their legs. It's costing them. They're better off to get on a Greyhound bus or an airplane.
Yeah, well, you know, a friend of mine told me that if you go up in South Dakota and up in Minnesota, they're paying $3-4 a mile to get something to go down to Florida. So, you know, I'll do some short loads, and then when I'm ready to go down south, I'll just go up north and take a good paying load and go down south. You know, they're paying good.
Well, I just,
from up.
You know, Christopher, I just heard Rico at the beginning. You better check that out. First of all, it's Florida, and you're going to come empty out of there. You're going to, you know, you're going to come out for 85 cents a mile. I think you and I have discussed that before. And then I just heard Rico just say before that Minnesota's not looking very well. So just be careful, because you may end up there and end up not doing very well. It's far away from home.
Yeah, I know Rico mentioned Illinois and Indianapolis up that place up there.
Okay.
Is doing a little bit. South Dakota is doing good also, because there's no truck up there, so that's what's happening. But I wanted you guys to either touch on the e-logs. I heard that in 15 months it's going to be mandatory for all truck drivers to be on e-logs, and I think this is what is going to affect the truck. You might say loads, not getting good paying loads is bad now, but if you get e-logs in 15 months and everybody's mandatory to go on e-logs, it's going to put a lot of owner-operators out of business, because it is bad now. How much more going on e-logs where, one, there's not enough parking, there's not enough rest area, and the list goes on. You know, that is going to affect truck drivers drastically.
You know, first of all, as far as e-logs, they're coming. It's just like winter. It's almost September, and we're going to have winter, and we're going to have snow. And I have news for you, everybody out there. We're going to have e-logs. It's coming. North America, I think, is the only place in the world where they still have paper logbooks. The rest of the world has gone to e-logs. We can bellyache all we want. It's coming. We're going to have to learn to work with it, okay? If you're running your business by cheating on your logbooks, your business is not viable. It's not sustainable. You cannot continue to do what you've been doing. So if you've been getting away with it for the last 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years, you've been good at cheating, but now you need to change how you do business, or you're not going to be able to do business like that anymore. And the good thing about it is everybody's going to have to sing off the same song sheet. So as Rico and I have talked about on this show before, you've got the secret sauce already by running these short trips, because you can plan. You know, you run those 200 or 300 mile trips, and you're running for for $2.50 or $3 a mile. You don't have to worry about e-logs or paper logs. You're going to be legal. It's when all of a sudden you go out into unfamiliar territory, like the Dakotas, and you're in Rapid City, South Dakota, and you're finished your shift, and you can't find a place to park because all the truck stops are full. And you've never been there before. You haven't been there in a year or two or five. And that's where we get into trouble. So I think in some ways, I think e-logs may not be as bad as everybody thinks. Everybody looks at it as the boogeyman. Let's look at it as an opportunity. How are you going to make money with it? We're in the trucking business. We're soldiers. We take disadvantages and turn them into advantages. That's what truckers do. And we need to look at it with e-logs as well. Nobody likes it, okay? I do have drivers that haven't driven. I actually have young guys or younger guys that have never used paper logs. And I have older guys that have gone to e-logs that will, when they came in, they said, I want e-logs. I'm not doing paper logs. So it's not as bad as what you think as long as you pre-plan your trips. And I think what we need to get away from is that whole mentality, you just mentioned it, of going running somewhere because you hear that the rate per mile is good out of that area, and it could be for melons or whatever. It's that mentality where we're doing stuff by the seat of our pants that we need to stop doing, because that gets all of us in trouble. What happens is word gets out there that out of Illinois you're getting $3 or $4 a mile. Next thing you know, there's 10,000 trucks in Illinois, in southern Illinois, and there's 1,000 loads. Well, now all of a sudden the rate, that good $3 or $4 a mile rate, goes down to 90 cents or $1.10 a mile. And that happens all the time. And we need to get away from that, and we need to start going to some sort of a balance if we're going to have a sustainable industry. We are our own worst enemies, and that's where we got to stop it. None of this happened before deregulation.
And what Chris was talking about, too, you know, if you're doing the shorter runs, you might be able to do a little bit better. But I've been experiencing, even with the shorter runs, this is my personal experience. On the spot market, even with the shorter runs, the rates have not been as lucrative as they once were. Usually, at one point in time in Atlanta, if you just did a regular run in Atlanta, if you did from one end of Atlanta to the other end of Atlanta, you know, you could easily get $500 just to do a move like that. And now, as of lately, if I'm just sitting at home and if I just want to stay at home for the day, and if I try to do something on the spot market, a spot move in Atlanta, you'd be lucky to get $300. You'd be lucky to even get $250. And I just refuse, you know, if I don't want to sit at home, I refuse to crank up the truck for anything less than that. With that said, let's go back to the phone lines. We got Robert Baker that's going to be joining us here. Robert, you're up live with Rico and Chuck. What kind of truck do you have? And also, what type of equipment do you pull?
Good afternoon. Good evening, gentlemen. I run a 2010 Cascadia. I run 53 van. I run I-10, I-40 corridor, primarily Arizona to Nevada, or I run short hops in Texas. And I can tell you, over the past 2 weeks, the short hops in those areas have turned into the 90-pound winklings. The Arizona runs up to Nevada, I used to get, just last month, I get $600 on a 287 load. 287-mile run. Right now, they're pricing out at about $400, $450.
Wow.
And that's the Pepsi loads. I mean, you would think that those loads, with sports coming up, the sports season coming up, they'd be shipping more products. But no, actually, they're shipping just as much product, but the rate's really gone down. Out here in Texas, I was getting runs from Houston to Dallas for $6+. Those have dropped down to about $4, $4.50. Hell, I just to get out of Laredo, I had to pull a load for, I think it was 550 for a 300-plus-mile run. It's time for me to shift territories that's along my corridor that'll find better short hops while I'm out. Because the areas that I usually run, they just can't, they're unsustainable.
So you're primarily running spot market freight, is that correct? Or do you have your own customers?
I don't have my own customers. What I do is I'm a core carrier with C.H. Robinson. I've been working with them for about 4 months now. So I can actually pick off loads 3 days before they hit the open market. And even with that, the rates at CHR has gone down big time.
Okay.
Well, yeah, part of it is because there's more equipment out there. There's a capacity issue where there's too much equipment and not enough work. And that's what brought me to the idea of this discussion tonight. These are sure signs of it. And all we have to do to work with this is we need to figure out what we can do. Maybe that Texas corridor you're working in, that may be a rough one because there's certainly a lot of equipment that was tied up at one point in the oil industry that's probably not being used for oil. And, a tractor's a tractor. It may not be really built for hauling, 53-foot dry vans, but somebody's using it for that. It's probably over-spec, but somebody's picked it up off of an auction site or had it working in oil and has chosen to be pulling dry vans between Houston, Dallas, or whatever, and that's cut into your business, Robert. We're seeing it all over Canada from the oil fields. A lot of that equipment that was, and a variety of equipment that was being used to service the oil fields, and some of it was even reefers because you had more people in places like Alberta and Saskatchewan that were consuming consumables. They were consuming paper products and they were consuming food and they were consuming all sorts of things. They're not working there anymore. And we have the same thing in your country in any of the oil patches because oil is down. And of course, that's where a lot of this is stemming from. We had some bumper years, all of us, and I think when we look at it, the thing that was driving it all was oil. And I thought that our country up here in Canada was dependent on it, but from what I'm reading and what I'm finding out is your country is not a whole lot different than ours. It's still driven by oil in the end. And you had more of a diversified economy than we did. You had a much healthier and much larger manufacturing base. But even that is starting to, in certain sectors, such as truck manufacturing, and that's the start of it. Your truck manufacturers and engine component manufacturers, et cetera, they're starting to back off, and that'll have other effects. It just goes down the line. So, the best advice I can give you is find, if you live in that area, maybe there's another type of work you can do with your truck that's not dry van. Maybe there's opportunities with tanks or flatbeds or step decks or double drops. I have no idea. But maybe there's some other things other than dry vans. Dry vans are always the low-hanging fruit because anybody can buy one pretty cheap and start competing.
Yeah. Do you mind if I touch on a couple of things real quick?
Sure.
One thing I didn't know about the majority of truck drivers is we go where the market is. That's always been the case since they deregulated. I move where the freight is. If the freight's moving out of one area, I'll go to that area. So it's basically up to me to research the market on that score. Basically, we follow the money. That's our job. Rico, I've got a question for you. I am not able to find any of your podcasts at all. Can you post a link on Facebook
we
can find? No? You don't do that?
Well, actually, no. I was saying, oh, no. But actually, if you go to my webpage, CrescentCarriersLLC.com, they should be RSS fed on my website. And I know that Henry Seaton also, he has them RSS on his website, especially the podcast that we do with him. And they should be up on the, if you go to the Audio Row Network, if you go to lestruck.com, and if you click on the podcast, if you click on my you click on my picture, it should take you to all of the podcasts.
Okay, that's what I needed to know because I've listened to your show before, but I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, that may be the easiest one. If you go to Les Truck, if you click on my picture, it should take you to all of the previous podcasts that we have on file there. And I'm trying to do it right now just to verify that, just to make sure that that's the case. And, yes, that is the case. You can go right there and see the latest episodes that are there. Everything is right there, and you can subscribe to it via iTunes, and you can subscribe to the RSS feed right there as well.
Excellent. All right, and if I can, one more thing. I think electronic logs are the best thing that's happening to this industry because it's going to make people run legal. That's coming from 12 years, 13 years of driving. Most of that has been on electronic logs. Heck, I'm using Big Roads right now as my electronic logs.
Right. I'm not a big, you know, I understand that some people, and we're going to put you back on hold there, Robert. We're going to try to move on and get a couple more calls in. But as far as the electronic logging issue is concerned, I think that my personal opinion is, it's going to be, as long as we charge accordingly, you know, sometimes we're not the best businessmen, and we have to understand that us smaller guys make up the majority of the capacity in this country. The guys that got from 1 to 10 trucks, we make up the majority of the capacity for trucking throughout the entire country. So we have a lot of influence. We're just so fragmented. We don't have any way of actually communicating it and trying to get everybody on the same page. Only thing we can do is try to get out as much education as we possibly can. But we have to stop giving away discounts and giving away free labor. One of the biggest things that we have done that I think we shot ourselves in the foot is by giving away so much free labor, and that's why there has been so little movement in the rates, because they think that a lot of people think that they can get something for nothing, because we have not been very savvy when it comes to our business practices as far as pricing and charging according to what that service requires. Want to get to another little point as well. We've talked about having a war chest, and I just want to give out a couple of little different pointers. When we were talking about that a little bit earlier, Chuck, building that war chest and being an entrepreneur requires you to have a different mindset. You cannot have a mindset of consumption. You have to have a more conservative mindset of defending your business, defending your livelihood. And what do I mean by that? I know that a couple of people may have been eyeing this nice little shiny bass boat that you've been looking at for the past couple of years or something like that. And you may have a little bit of money put back to be able to go ahead and purchase that outright, or have the creditability to go ahead and get that nice little bass boat or a nice pickup truck or whatever it is that you may be eyeing. But by taking on more debt at this point in time, you actually may be setting yourself up for failure. You want to, at this point in time, I think that you should be hoarding as much cash as you possibly can. One of the things that, as everybody knows, I love Dave Ramsey. One of the things that Dave Ramsey always talks about is having that emergency fund or that war chest or whatever. And he recommends not only on a personal side, but even for your business side, he recommends that you try to store away 6 months to 1 year worth of cash to be able to operate your business should something detrimental happen. And now I know with the expenses that I know with my own operation that I got a lot of ground to cover before I can even try to get to having 6 months worth of cash stashed away. But that's a goal that we should be shooting for. Chuck, anything you want to add to this? And Denard, we're coming right to you. And if you want to get in, by the way, go ahead and press number one. We want to get to your calls as well. We still want to get more information from more of you guys that are out there. So we welcome your participation. And with that said, I'm going to throw it back over to Chuck. Chuck, anything you want to throw in there as far as building
Rico,
that war chest from different things,
you know,
different tactics?
You said it perfectly about having cash reserves. You can't be going out and buying yourself presents in the terms of a bass boat or a new pickup truck unless you have that war reserve. You guys need to understand out there that if we do, and I hope we're wrong, I hope this whole conversation is for nothing, and come Inauguration Day, the Dow Jones announces they've had the best day ever and that the U.S. economy has been stronger than it's ever been. And because, of course, when that happens, you guys always take Canada with for the ride, which is good. We certainly don't want it the other way. But you need that war chest. When you're thinking about spending money for your business, sometimes what you have to do, separate yourself and say, well, listen, if your name is Rico and you are going to go and buy that bass boat or you are going to go and buy that, you know, those shiny rims for your truck, what you do is you say, Rico, if I hired you as the president to run Crescent Carriers and you went out and spent an extra $1,000 on shiny rims for a truck and trailer, would the board of directors, they applaud you? Or would they give you hell? And if the answer is they would give you hell, well, then you don't make the decision. Sometimes you have to just take your – and it's an easy thing to do sometimes. You just take yourself – put yourself in another role in the company and step back for a second, and then you decide whether that's a good idea. And it sounds real silly, but it will guide you as to whether you should really be buying that new trailer that you'd really like but you don't really need. So you really need to decide on a personal level and especially on a business level, do you need it or do you want it? Because there's two different things. And if you can make do, the trick right now is don't spend any money. I have been through this before. I can tell you in the last recession, I was advised to about a year and a half before to go and update my trailers, and I nodded my head and said, sure, sure, I'm going to do that, and I decided not to, and I kept all my old garbage, and I fixed it when it needed fixing, and I was able to keep everything on the road. It wasn't pretty, but guess what? I didn't have one trailer payment, and that carried me through. You know, we got through the last recession a lot easier than our American friends did, but we ran into a little bit of a hiccup here and there right towards the end, but we were fine because we had number one cash reserves, and the reason for that was because we didn't spend any money on equipment. We didn't have any debt. So you want to try to work towards being debt-free, plus have money in the bank. That's your goal. That's why you are in business. Otherwise, go take a job working for FedEx or whoever, get a job as a truck driver, you'll make good money. But if you want to be on your own, you have responsibility to your family and to your company. So own up to it, take responsibility, be accountable, and make good decisions. And those good decisions come along with pricing too.
Great, great. Let's take some calls here. We got
let's do that.
We got I had the Nard that was lined up next. The Nard, if you're listening, get back in, buddy. We got Steve here. We're gonna bring up and on board with the Steve. What kind of truck are you driving? Tell us a little bit about your operation and what are you seeing out there as far as rates?
Rico. Yes, I'm driving a dry van with Landstar. And I stay out 10 days, and I have a lot of contract freight. I run three good loads that give me about $8,000 of revenue, of which I keep $5,500 of it. You know, Landstar, I think they're third. Where I make my money, and Chuck mentioned it earlier, I'm up here in the Northeast. I got up here today with one of my four loads, and I run three loads between today and Friday. It'll give me another $2,800 in revenue, about $1,900 to me. And they're short loads, $4 a mile, things like that.
Boom.
I'll keep $275 out of that. And so I'm able to make it by really, like to say, concentrating on the short loads on the freight that's not my contract freight. My contract freight pays good. Now, it's down. Even at Landstar, the contract freight, I've had, you know, 3 drops in rates over the last year, but they're still great loads, and I still make great money on them. I was making crazy money back in 14 on them, though.
Yeah, we all were.
Right, right. And and the key thing that you just said is you are a Landstar BCO, so you don't necessarily have the added expense of an motor carrier as far as when I say about the added expense as far as the extra money that having your own insurance is going to run you. You get to save a little bit of money, and you also get money saving benefits by being part of Landstar with their extensive network when it comes to, you know, their purchasing power. So that definitely helps to the bottom line for you as well. That's good information.
And everybody gripes about the third that they take. I don't gripe about it because, as Mr. Snow there knows, they're a company that the agents have a lot of great freight. Now, if you take care of that agent, and you take care of the agent is my customer, and then his customer is my customer. If I take care of both of them.
Exactly.
I've got all the work I want that pays good because there are enough unreliable drivers out here, even with Landstar, that if you're reliable, the cream's going to rise to the top if you will do what you say every time and do it right. And, that's what I would urge everybody to do. You know, don't ever treat a customer, a broker, anybody bad because that is your customer. The shippers, receivers, you know, if you're upset with them, bite your tongue, walk outside, and yell when you get back in the truck. But you still got to take care of that customer. That customer, even though they may have been a little rude to you, they are still, if you're rude back to them, they're going to call your agent, they're going to call your broker, and they're going to say don't let that guy back in here again. And so you always, I think Zig Ziglar said it best: if you give everybody else what they want, you can have all of what you want. And,
you got it.
Come on now.
Life's still good. It was great 2 years ago. It's still good if you'll take care of your customers, take care of your business, and like you said, put away money. Ready for the downturn because it's coming. Just right.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, we appreciate your call. Appreciate you letting us know what was going on in your operation. Continued success, my friend. Be safe out there. I'm going to put you back on hold. We're going to try to grab a few more callers and get some more people mixed in here. Moving right along, we're going to jump over. Let's grab Mark. Mark, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. Can you tell us a little bit about your operation? What type of truck and trailer are you pulling, and what type of rates are you seeing?
I do have my own authority. It's second year as a startup. I just got my second truck here about 3 months ago. My brother actually drives it for me, and I work strictly off the boards. I've actually keep a laptop in the truck wired 24/7, work directly with the brokers. And I have a good reputation. We do good work. We schedule everything. We're in on time. We're nice to everybody. We do everything we're supposed to do. When I first started this operation 2 years ago, there was some surplus in money, and I don't go out and buy anything. The company comes first, and we're making a decent living.
What type of equipment, Mark?
Running a 2012 387 and a 2013 KWT 660 pulling flatbeds, 48 flats. I've kind of cut my throat a little bit on some stuff because we try not to do a lot of tarp work. Lumber's really cheap. We try to stay away from that. And we go home every weekend. There's been twice in almost 2 years that we haven't made it home for the weekend. So I some people say that I've set myself up for failure. And I've got a big gold ring that I'm trying to jump in and doing all of that and making those limitations. But we're still making it, and we get home every weekend.
What area
we
run in,
Mark? We run our terminal is in South Alabama, north near Pensacola, Mobile area. So I've got a lot of good outbound freight leaving Mobile, Pensacola area. The runs that I've been making the past 2 years out of Mobile going outbound, still getting decent money on Mobile, New Orleans, along the I-10 corridor. Going out, it's good. Coming back, it's just absolutely the areas that I've depended on: Charlotte, Atlanta, Nashville, Memphis. For backhauls, they have just absolutely bottomed out, and they're if you can get a load, they're cheap.
Yeah.
So we've just had to cut back on our operation. We've set up. I'm not putting. We're getting by. You know, we're keeping the trucks up. We're spending a lot of money on maintenance, tires, equipment. All the money's going back into the company, and just hoping and praying that when things do pick up, you know, that we'll be in good standings with all these customers. I've got brokers that call me every day wanting me to do loads for them because they got to have it there. They got to have it on time. They're trying to get new customers. You know, one of the things that people don't realize with these brokers is their customers – flip flop just like everybody else does. If a supplier thinks that he can get his load moved cheaper with another broker, they move it to a different broker, and that's part of the problem with the rates, in my opinion, too, because there are a lot of brokers out there that are putting loads out that are really, really cheap, and there are a lot of carriers that are taking them. You know, whether it's to get their guys home, just to have freight on the truck, just to get the miles, whatever the case may be. But when you sit and watch the boards 12, 14 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week, and you see some of these loads last year in an area that was paying $1.80 to $2 a mile, and now it's 80 cents to $1 a mile, and those loads are only on the board 10 or 15 minutes, and somebody takes them, there's a problem with that.
100%. Well, I'll give you some advice there. What I would do, you're in a great area for freight. I know it well. I strongly suggest for your two trucks, reel them in a little bit. Pick an area. It's the only way you're going to beat this, whether it's Memphis or Piedmont, South Carolina, it doesn't matter, or Charlotte. Pick one area. Just become the go-to guy from Pensacola to Charlotte. Just make that yours. That's what you do. Don't do anything else, because you can get the outbound out of Pensacola into whatever area you desire, and then work the other area. You're going in too big a range. What you're doing everything right, except where you're going, where you're heading to, your destinations are way too broad. Tighten it way up. Tighten it up by about 98%. And you're going to make money.
Right. I try to limit. We're running big roads, so we've already switched to e-logs, but they're editable. And we don't cheat if we can help it. But we try to keep that 500-mile range. If each truck can gross $1,000 a day, I'm in great shape. You know, I all the bills are paid. And there's a little bit left over. And that is our normal lane, is Mobile to Charlotte.
Okay.
I can deadhead down to, and I run that lane more than any other lane. When I step out of that lane, you're absolutely correct. That's when I start getting snake bit a little bit.
What the other thing that Chuck is also alluding to with that as well, Mark, is you know, begin marketing directly. If you can go direct,
right?
You will stand to probably add conservatively. If you can get a direct versus what you're doing for a broker, on a conservative side, you might be adding maybe anywhere from 30 to 50 cents per mile to your bottom line per mile, if you can get that
right.
Direct freight, and it helps
right.
Build you. And it sounds like you're doing that you know what I'm saying, that you're really caring about the right thing, that you care about taking care of your customers, and if you can establish yourself with that, those people are going to absolutely love you. You know, that relationship is just going to flourish because you do take so much pride in making sure that the job is getting done. And so if you can
right.
Start to get some direct customers, you know, if you got your dumbbell set, if you know that those are the two areas that you're going to be working, you know, just start reading some more material as far as marketing or whatever to maybe give yourself some ideas on what you can do to market in those areas, to get yourself and your company in front of those areas, to get your phone to ring from not only just dealing with brokers by posting your truck on load boards, but actual being able to invoice directly to a shipper that's going to be calling you, so that you can actually turn the margins that the brokers are making off that freight that you're hauling can translate into your bottom line versus to their bottom line.
Right. Yeah, my biggest issue with that is capacity.
That's not an issue at all. You going to market the capacity that you have. You can have a truck in a market every day. So you know what I'm saying? You're not going in there trying to promise them the world. You're a smaller operation, which they ought to be able to identify. Especially most of your people are going to be small businesses. They can identify with that, especially in the flatbed market. It seems, just my humble opinion, it seems that the flatbed market is a little bit more of an easier egg to crack than some of the other markets, because you have a little less corporate bureaucracy to go through to actually get to a decision maker. Most of your stuff when you're on the flatbed, you can see that. You can see that freight sitting out there on the yard when you're just riding around town. So when you see that, hey, just whip in there, and you have to, you know, and this is gold. I'm not just saying this to you, Mark. I'm saying this to myself at the same time. You know, I'm saying this directly to myself. You have to get out of your own mindset as far as being in your way of saying they're going to tell me no. You have to get over that. Just suck it up. Go in there and do whatever it is that you need to do to try to win that business for yourself. Because one thing that we forget, and especially in this industry, we become entrepreneurs, but we're kind of cheating the process, because by going after the low boys have crippled us so much to the point to where we don't have adequate marketing and sales skills to actually be a true entrepreneur. And I'm not saying that it's any disrespect to anybody. I'm just saying that for the most part, most truckers get petrified of actually going in and doing the hard work that it's going to take to win that direct business. And until we gird up our loins to crack that nut, we are going to still be relegated to just settling for whatever the brokers are willing to part with, versus us being able to go determine and make sure that we getting what we want to get for our business and making our business successful. So I want to leave you with that little nugget, Mark. I appreciate the phone call. We're going to try to keep it moving. We're running real tight. Let's go to our good friend, and I know we're going to hear it from this fella right here. Let's go to our good friend, George Heck. George, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what to say, but I'll say this, and I'm very honored and proud, and I know it aggravates a lot of people, but just over 4 years ago, Kim and I started our business. And I'm honest and proud to say this year my broker freight is 0%, and we are slated to do some incredible revenue adding the second truck this year. But when I look at my numbers compared to what they were when I started on a rate per mile, rate per day, for me, everything is up considerably. And I didn't start on a low end. But what I do want to say, and this may come about, and I'm sorry, because it'll be at the demise of someone else, this is a great time to buy good used equipment, and I'm looking for a step deck. I want to upgrade mine. I'm probably going to upgrade my original truck this year, and we're in a very good financial situation to do it. We're pretty honest and with our customers, and downright proud that, you know, this year we were able to turn everything around, and with the exception of our home and my pickup, which we bought, we are debt free. And I hammered hard on everything to get that out of the way. And as I mentioned to Rico when we talked a couple weeks ago, we're in the process of selling our home and buying a bigger home, more acreage, more, you know, with a shop. And that has come because we were there to provide the service. I saw the niche and the need. Yes, I did have the background of sales and, you know, and push on that hard. And I talked to a bunch of people out here who succeed. Those that want to just push me away and call me an arrogant SOB, well, have at it. The numbers don't lie.
And
nope,
that's
they
the
don't.
Thing about it, Dorsey. You are more of the exception to the rule. And I say that, you know, you kind of helped give me a little bit of inspiration, because it's just, like I was just saying a few minutes ago, we are so handicapped in this industry by settling for, well, I don't have to, I can make money just by posting my truck on the load board. And we've gotten so used to that scenario that, you know, the thought of doing something else is petrifying. I mean, I'm really just trying to put it from the aspect of the guy that's the average Joe that's listening in. And like I said, I understand the whole thing, you know, the sweaty palm situation. And it's just something that we have to get over ourselves and do what's best for our businesses and actually tackle that part of being in business. That's what, because here's a newsflash. That's what you signed
well, exactly.
up for when you
that,
decided
that is,
to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, Kim and I have talked about. Failure is not an option. I'm 50 years old now. I don't want to start back over. Yeah, I can go back, kind of money. But, I mean, we are, you know, we're targeting more of the unique side. I mean, you know, we have three moving vans now, three Kentucky moving vans. I just bought our sixth trailer. I've got two step decks and then our low boy, our double drop. But, I mean, you know, I just did a move down to Chattanooga. And, you know, people get upset and annoyed when I say, you know what, it's just not worth me finding anything to go back to New York. So what do? I just head back home. But I sell myself as a dedicated logistics carrier. They have bought me to handle their move, and my service ends when I get home. And it works. As long as you're not doing the general, you know, you want to move a box of materials, that's not going to work. Anybody can do that.
No,
get yourself into a different element.
But, you know, in all fairness to everybody out there, the vast majority of people that own trucking fleets either come into it from the driver's side or they come in from the mechanical side. Very few, and I can tell you there's been a handful that I've met in my life that have come into it from the sales side. It's very unique and it's very rare. You are one of the few. And most of our listeners, this is the hard stuff, and this is where they are. They're afraid. They're not. A lot of them aren't trained. That's the other thing. George, you worked for carriers. You had great training. The people listening to this podcast have not had anywhere near the training you've had, so it's that much harder. And they're trying to balance a business, and they're balancing time and everything else. And I understand where their apprehension comes from. I'm not saying you're not right. You're 100% right, but you also have an advantage that they don't. It's like the 6'8", 400-pound guy telling a guy that's 5'7" and 160 pounds that if he really worked a lot harder, he'd be a better football player. Well, part of it's true, but the other part is the bigger guy does have some advantages. You've had the advantage of, you know, two decades plus of sales. You can go in there. You know where to go, who to go, how to speak to them. A lot of these people that we're,
haven't had that experience. But I don't want anyone to think that I'm not. I don't get in my moods and don't have my moments where I don't want to go out there and sell. There are times I don't. I get cold feet, cold hands, where I'm just like, oh God, I don't want to do this. Especially when I'm doing new work for new customers. And that's sure. One of my hardest things right now is, you know, now having employees or a employee wanting to get more and grow more. I have a pretty high bar that I have the way I want, but I don't think they will, because if they would, they'd be out doing this themselves.
That's right. Nobody's going to do it like
right,
George does.
Right.
I can tell you that now.
And –
you know, so.
And just want to put it out there for more and more people. I mean, there are different things. We are in the information age. go take some time, do some Google searches on marketing, on sales, and try to grab a couple of audio books on sales and marketing and different things of that nature. If you're going to, like I said, if you're really going to be a true entrepreneur, this is no knock or slight to anybody, but if you're going to do this as a motor carrier, you have to equip yourself with not only the knowledge of the FMCSA regulations and the different things from the DOT that we have to, you know, balancing all of that, but the absolute lifeline to any business is sales. And that's something that, you know, I don't think that maybe many of us really have an understanding of. We think that, well, we're going to do the work. If we work hard, if we do, you know, if we get in the truck and we drive 10 and a half hours, and you know, whatever that entails, the actual part of the actual physical part of doing the job, well, that's one thing. But, ladies and gentlemen, the most highest paid people in any organization are not the ones that are actually doing the manual labor. It is the brain trust of those corporations and those companies, and they get paid the big bucks because they are doing the hard work. You know, it may not be physically taxing, but it there's a mental aspect to that that you have to transition over to, that we have to overcome, that we are yet to overcome, the majority of us, to be able to bring our businesses into the 21st century. And this is why we are still dealing with fighting with such simple topics as being paid and, you know, make sure that we get adequate pay for being detained at shippers and receivers and so on and so forth. These are some of the things that, because we are not, you know, some of the bigger carriers, they don't have those issues because they've already got those things are already negotiated and locked in. We are not, most of us smaller guys have not gotten to that level, and this is what we're trying to talk about as far as lifting the industry and lifting the bar as a whole across the board in this industry, trying to make it better.
And you know, Rico, one thing, you know, I do want to say also, get out there and work to surround yourself and talk to people that are successful in it. You know, God bless everyone out here that does a great job. And, you know, maybe even those that don't. I'm thankful for the ones that don't do a good job because it makes my job easier. But get out there and listen to those that are making things happen. I mean, you know, I spent a great deal of time. Probably one of my best friends out here, Joe Cox, I met through, you know, your show and through some of the Facebook groups. Very good friend of mine, very successful, been in the industry 25 years. Will know what they're talking about. I'm sorry, somebody that just stepped into it last year, we may sit and talk, but I don't know what I'm going to really gather and gain from that side. You know, there's a lot of great information out here, but there's a lot of misinformation, and that is dangerous. Don't let it eat you alive.
How true.
Right, right. And, man, I tell you what, man, we're a little bit over in overtime. We flew through that hour. It went through so quickly. We didn't even get a chance to touch on the DAT Trend Lines report, which I will post on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page. Didn't really want to – I want to try to get into
Rico?
It. But, yes, sir.
Hey, I was just going to say, that's okay. I'm okay without the trend line. Thanks. Sorry, was that wrong?
George, I anybody else but you, you can say it, okay, buddy?
Well, listen, guys, I'll let you wrap this up, unless you got anything else for me. But it's always a pleasure, and you know, really, it's a pleasure and honor to really speak with both of you. Thank you.
Likewise.
It was a pleasure, George. Thanks for the call. And for everybody else that's not George, if you want to take a look at the DAT Trend Lines report, you can go over to Rachel Lane's Facebook page. We're going to post a link of it up for over there for your pleasure, for you to go back and review. Also, if you want to get in contact with Chuck Snow, Chuck, tell the people how they can get in contact with you and how what you may have to offer for them.
Well, if you need any help with anything or you need loads, especially that guy Mark out of Pensacola, give me a call. I get loads out of there and I get loads into there from from the Carolinas. So give me a call and get set up as a traffics carrier. You can call me directly, and not just Mark, but anybody. Get set up with us. I'll pay you right away. Mike, this is really important. If you're listening and writing this down, my extension is 203, and the telephone number is 800-388-4352. Again, extension 203. And my email is chuck@traffix.com. And we have dozens and dozens of phone lines and dozens of people. And I don't want anybody listening to ever go through voicemail hell. Last week, somebody didn't mark down the 203, and they ended up speaking to about five people trying to get hold of me. I don't think that's fair. So just so we don't waste anybody's time, including whoever's calling me, press extension 203. I'm there every day, and I do get back to people. I may be out of the office. I'm actually going to be out of town from the 2nd of September till the 11th. So that week you probably won't be able to reach me. But any other time you can reach me, I get back to people. I will help you with your problems if I can. If not, I'll give you some ideas. We have loads all over the U.S., interstate loads for vans, for reefers, for flatbed step decks, some oversized equipment. Give us a call, get set up, and hopefully we can do some business. Be safe out there.
And just before we round everything up, you guys go to Facebook page, Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad. Give us a little bit of feedback. Give us some more feedback. Would you like for us to try to and it'll give me some things to help maybe enhance the show a little bit. You know, would you guys like for us to have a little segment on some different sales and marketing techniques that we might be able to bring here on this particular podcast to be able to share? And if you are a person that is actively out knocking on doors and having a little bit of success, if you would like to share some of your successes and give us some pointers and different things of your experience from going out there trying to establish yourself and getting some customers, shoot me a note, shoot me a inbox or something on Facebook, and reach out to me. And if we would love to have you on the show and hear from you what your experiences were, you know, because we want to try to make this thing as practical and as real world as possible, so that everybody has the benefit that is listening in to learn from those different experiences and maybe start to jog our minds to think, hey, okay, maybe I might be able to apply this particular technique. This may work for me. So we want to try to help increase your business, give you some different tips and pointers to make sure that you are successful, that you can weather the coming storm. Hopefully there's not a storm, and that we'll, you know, this is all to do about nothing. But at the same time, you will still benefit by enhancing your business and benefit and growing your business by utilizing these techniques. So we definitely welcome your feedback. Shoot us information there on Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad on Facebook. Wrapping up tonight, as always, support all of the different podcasts that are on the Audio Road, Kevin Rutherford's network. Kenny Long, his show is every Tuesday, 7 p.m., Trucking with Authority. Of course, you're listening to us tonight, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. That's the Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad night. Trucking 101 is with Rick and Melissa Grimm. That comes on every Saturday at 8 p.m. And rounding out the roundup is Mike and Kevin Beckett, their show Rolling Toe, Sundays at 9 p.m. Be sure to check all of the shows out. If you don't get a chance to check them out live, all of the shows are recorded. They are podcast format. You can always go back and listen to them in your spare time when you're rolling down the road. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for calling in and participating. I want to thank my daughters back at the home front for taking the calls and screening the calls and getting everybody up and on board with us. I want to thank Mr. Chuck Snow for being so gracious with his time, taking time out to come on, be with us, and help share his knowledge in this industry to help make everyone better. And we want to thank Kevin, Lisa Rutherford, the entire Less Truck team for providing us with the platform to bring this show to you. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Good night. You guys be safe out there. Until next time, keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise.
Good night, Rico. God bless you.
Good night, Chuck.